Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
All right, let's sing on the first now. your sins away. Hallelujah. If you don't know that this morning, we can go ahead and get it started. You can come on down and get saved. We can tell you all about it. Amen. Woo! Tell you about what this means about being washed, having your sins washed away. Oh, my word. Amen. Hallelujah.
Good to be at Westside this morning. Glad to be standing on the solid rock. You praise the choir sings.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Lord, tell me how. can I contain the joy my heart now knows? How can I begin to measure love that ever grows? How can I then explain what happens when we speak your name? Lord, how? Please tell me how.
How I love you, Lord. How I love you, Lord. How can I say
service and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, that you come find Him precious to your soul today.
Amen.
If you're a Christian and you're not living as close as you should be, our prayer today is that you draw up to the fire just a little bit closer. Dark days, but we serve a risen Savior that's in control, can take care of all things if we'll just turn it over to Him. Ask me why I sing that.
In a world torn in two, bearing the weight of years of regret, she listened to the preacher when he stood up and said, if you're somewhere between doubt and believing, friend, I have the answers for all that you're needing.
Ask me who, and I'll tell you it's Jesus. Ask me how, and I'll say it's the blood. Ask me where,
why, and I'll tell you it's love. Well, it has been years since she found amazing grace. It's been a long journey, but each battle she's faced has proven God faithful time and again, and a chance to tell others who were right where she's been. If you're somewhere between doubt and believing, God has the answers for all that you're needing.
Ask me who, and I'll tell you it's Jesus. Ask me how, and I'll say it's the blood. Ask me where, and I'll take you to Calvary.
Ask me why,
tell you something, man, they were singing. I was about to come out of my skin. I looked out in the audience. I tell you, some of you look like you're suffering from a bad case of constipation. Goodness gracious alive. The Lord's here this morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord's here. Man, I tell you, my heart, it got blessed before I heard any song. I walked in over here, and forgive me for, there's some of these young people that came over here and sat down. Some of them came up on the bus. I got to tell you something. They didn't all smell good. The little fella I was sitting next to stopped. I praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless. I tell you what. You just pray for me. Figure out which way I'm going to go here and the Lord's going to take us. The scene is two men in a weight room. One is riding an exercise bicycle and he's a Christian. The other man is a lost church member standing beside the bicycle lifting weights. The Christian man begins to delve into the lost church member's spiritual life. The lost church member becomes angry and storms away, and as he storms away, he says, "I'll see you in church." The Christian man says, "You don't need to be in church. Church needs to be in you." The Bible says in Psalm chapter 31, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." I understand that this psalm is also Christ talking, but I'm going to deal with it as David today. "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me." And then this is it. "O Lord God of truth." I walked in and saw these young people over here. I thought, man, today at Westside Baptist Church, these children are going to hear the truth. And if we'll swallow our pride, adults, we might hear some truth ourselves this morning. See, there are some truths that needs to get in us this morning. Some basic truths that we as Christians have come to understand and to know and to literally take it for granted. I spoke vaguely of this Sunday night before we had our special testimonial meeting. But we hear things, we sing, and do you mind if I just share this again, the story again? And one night, the choir was singing, one morning, the choir was singing, they were singing about the Lamb of God. And a grown man walked up to me and grabbed me by my arm and sat down and said, "What? What is this lamb that they're singing about?" He was sincere, ladies and gentlemen. He wasn't poking fun. He truly didn't understand. And we sing about the lamb and the blood and God's grace and mercy. And so many don't understand the truth. But we've got the truth. And the truth today needs to be in us. We need to understand that we hold in our hands, ladies and gentlemen, the God-breathed Word. Not any word old. There's books, books galore. We used to live over near Clemson, South Carolina, and drive by the library, and you can look through the windows and see story after story, multi-levels of books, books and more books, but none of those books contain the knowledge and the wisdom that this one book contains or has to offer us. I'm talking about the God-breathed thoughts and desires, Christians, for each and every one of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord God that can breathe through dirty, rotten sinners, saved by grace, to pen His wants and desires and instructions that He has for you and me. Only an almighty God could do such a great and marvelous miracle. I'm talking about this thing of the inspired Word of God. We need to stop taking it for granted and maybe take it a little lightly and understand, if you want to know God, you get into this book. If you want to know what God likes, what He doesn't like, get in this book. You have some likes and dislikes, and I have some likes and dislikes. Some of you love going over here to the green tomato buffet thingamabob. Some of you love going over here to the Golden Corral buffet. You think it's the grandest place on earth, and I wouldn't go there if you hate me. See, I here I go, Miss Pina. People are getting that food, honey. And when they're getting all that food, they got deodorant chips dropping down their sleeve and into the food. The good thing about that, sweetie, is you have good breath. But that's about the end of it. I'm just saying, there's things that we like and dislike, and we're not on the same page, I guarantee you. But I rather know what God likes and dislikes. I'm not marching to the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not marching to the Independent Baptist Fundamental Cut Your Throat Group. I'm marching to the Word of God. And that's all I have a desire to do. If you don't like the way I walk, talk, smell, or wear my hair, tough cookies. I've checked it out all within the Word of God, and He says I'm okay. I'm telling you, we have the inspired Word of God that can teach the scientists and the school teachers and the college professors more than they'll ever find out or ever know through the secular curriculums. It's all in the Word of God. Because not only can they get educated through the Word of God, but they become wise through the Word of God. I thank the Lord and Savior for His Word. I'm saying to you, Christian, that we need to stop coming to church and let church get in us. We need to stop reading about God's Word and read God's Word. Now, I'm not against a good commentary. I'll tell you right now, I like good commentaries. But good commentaries can only take you as far as the author. But when you get a hold of this book, it is so deep, you will never reach the bottom of it. And it is so high, you'll never see the top of it. And it is so wide, you'll never find the sides of it. It's the Word. It's the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad we've got the Word of God. These are basic truths. David said, "O Lord, God of truth." The truth is that God breathed on man and created His Word. The true God The true God created heaven and the earth. You know that? He created everything that we see and touch. It was not some form of evolution, folks. The other day we were talking about, Pastor Payne told me something that I did not know. I didn't know this. That these corsets that women used to wear years ago had whalebone in them. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Had a whalebone in them. And they kill the whale, put the whalebone in them, in the corsets, and that's how they got all those pretty, shapely ladies. Whalebone. And I asked Pastor Payne how he knew that, and I accused him of, when he was a little boy, breaking off a shin bone of the dinosaur and beating the whales over the head and taking the ribs out. I want to tell you, God created this stuff. And it's done so perfectly. The eyeball itself is enough to make a man believe that there's a creator. I mean, you've got like a million extension cords running off the back of your eyeball to your brain. Can you imagine that? Folks, that kind of thing does not metamorphose or evolve. That is a technical creation that can only come from a great creator, which is our Lord. I'm so glad that we have a God that created this world. I want to tell you, folks, we need to understand that we serve the true God, and He is an eternal God. Isaiah 45:21 says, a just God and a Savior, and listen to this, there is none other beside me. He's saying, if you're looking anywhere else, you're looking in the wrong places. Years ago, there was a song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, I want to tell you, if you're looking for God anywhere but where God is, you've missed the boat. There's one, there's the only, and He was yesterday, He is right now as we stand, and He will forever, ever be tomorrow. That's our God. That's the true God. Now stop thinking about it and let it get in here. Let it drop from your brain and get into your heart. Well, I tell you something else about our true God. He's a holy God. Amen. We see that throughout the Scripture. And, of course, in Isaiah 6:3, we see the seraphims flying and they're yelling, holy, holy, holy. Pastor Payne mentioned something about that last Sunday morning. I don't want to re-preach that. But I want to say to you that we do have a very holy God. I've said this once before. I'm going to say it again. God does not meet the definition of holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, He is the definition of holiness. Over the last week or so, 10 days, I guess, I don't remember, the Pope has been here in America. Traveling the road in his stupid little Fiat. People calling him and referring to him as the Holy Father. Look, I don't want to be ugly, but I am going to say this flat out. Thank you, Pastor. There's nothing holy about that man. If he goes to heaven, he will go to heaven the same way you and I will go to heaven. And that is trusting in the Holy Father, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, and none other. No organization, Catholic, Baptist, Protestant, no organization has the power to forgive your sin. It's all about the Lord God, Jesus Christ. There's nothing holy about the Pope. And by the way, if you felt good because he went up and visited the little lady that was in Kentucky that was thrown in jail for not signing the marriage license for the homosexuals, and you said, man, well, at least he got that right. Well, no, we didn't. Because when he left, the Catholic Church sent out a memo and a, oh, look, just because he met with her doesn't mean He supports her position. What I want to say to you, he's an unholy man that promotes and allows perversion. You know that the Pope, as perverted he is in doctrine, he could have come to America and he could have kicked abortion in the head. He could have literally killed abortion if he would have gone after it. But I don't even think he mentioned it. If he did, it was in such a vague area and mentioned it, you couldn't even understand it unless you were trying to dissect what he was saying so you could pull it out. I'm telling you, he's not holy. He's an evil man that has an evil religion. When people that embrace Catholicism call themselves Christians, they are deceived. Catholicism is not Christianity, and the Pope is not a holy father. I tell you something else that ripped me. Is a man on Fox. I was listening to the radio. It's Shepherd Smith, I think is his name. A week, two, three ago, all the Muslims show up, not all of them, but hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, show up in a place called Mecca. And you know what he said? He said, he was telling about everybody conversion on Mecca, and then he called it the holy city. And then he said, and we know it is. I want to say to you, there's nothing holy about that city. That city has been infiltrated with the deepest and the darkest type of demonic forces. There's only one that's holy. And I want to say to you, there's only one holy city, and none of us have gotten there yet. Amen? I'm looking forward to going to that city. I'm looking forward to going. Now, if there's a bus going up after church, I will let it go up without me. But I know that I'm going. Amen? And I'm looking for that day to go to the holy city, which is only holy because we have a holy Father. Amen, brother. I'm just saying today we need to stop going to church and let the church get in us. I know that we refer to that to lost people, but I want to tell you, Christians, we have forgotten what God has done for us and where He brought us, and we have started going to church instead of going to church. I want to tell you, if church gets inside of you, the preacher won't have to stand up here and beg you to come. The church ever gets inside of you, you'll be where you need to be when you need to be there, when the church gets inside of you. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that there are some basic principles of Bible truth that we need to allow to be instilled in us. The fact is we serve a God, and our God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I want to tell you, that should make all of us examine our lives. It does me, Pastor. I constantly re-examine and look for hate and disdain, because, ladies and gentlemen, we go through the battles, we go through these things, and we are flesh, and we have to contend with them whether we want to admit it or not. And man, I tell you, when I see that hate, that disparaging attitude toward a brother or sister in Christ, I'm reminded of this verse that he that loveth not knoweth not. I don't want to be the hater. I want to be the one that loves the brethren, ladies and gentlemen. The true God is revealed in three persons. Genesis 1:26 says this, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Amen? I'm talking about the Trinity of God coming together and creating the world and the universe. Years ago, I had a family in our church. And they were a little wishy-washy. I'm not going to lie to you. I wonder about their salvation. I just, something wasn't right. And then the lady came to me and she said this. She said, can you show me the Trinity in the Bible? My dad doesn't believe in Trinity. My mama doesn't believe in the Trinity. And that's why they don't come to church here. So, I did. And right after that, I got a call. And this man, this lady's dad, that didn't believe in the Trinity, was put in the hospital. Went in for something simple that got complicated. Ladies and gentlemen, I was there. I was there when this man that denied the Trinity was disconnected from life support. A man that had been staring into space for quite a long while. And when they disconnected him, his eyes popped open. Tears had been running down his side of his face. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart he saw hell coming for him. If you don't believe in the Trinity of God, you don't believe in Jesus Christ. So I thank him that we have a Trinity that was mentioned in his holy word, inspired word that we talked about earlier, that they were all there. Amen. They were all there. 1 John 5:7, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You say, well, it mentioned the Father, it mentioned the Holy Ghost, but what's this Word thing? Well, if you go to the first verse of chapter 1, the book of John, you'll find the Word, the Word, the Word. And if you'll do a little word study, you'll find that it's saying the Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wake up. I'm having so much fun, I can't stand myself. All right. Thank God we serve a God. It's three in one. I tell you something else. We've got a God that conquered the natural processes of birth. That's right. Our God came to this world wrapped in flesh through a virgin. A lady that had never known man, and our God did this. And it's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's the truth. Isaiah 7:14 predicted this and said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. And this was fulfilled in Matthew and Luke. It's talked. This is the kind of God we serve. This is the true God. How am I doing on time? We're doing wonderful. 7 minutes to 12. Pastor Golden's will be there. 12:30, they'll still be okay. Now, and by the way, speaking of taste, likes, and dislikes, I like Golden's, like Pastor Payne's like Golden's. Amen. I didn't say Golden Corral. I said Golden's. All right, here we go. I'm on the home stretch, believe it or not. If you believe it, you may have just been lied to. I tell you something. We can find the Trinity, the Holy Ghost being part of the third person, 1 John 5:7, as we've already read. We believe the Holy Ghost, as I've already mentioned, was active in creation, found in Genesis 1 and verse 2. We believe the Holy Spirit, you ready for this, Christian, testifies of Jesus Christ and convicts men of sin. That's exactly right. I said the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ and convicts men of sin. In John 16:14, speaking of the Spirit, Jesus said, he shall glorify me. I like it. the Holy Spirit glorifying the Son. And then the Son said, don't stop here. Let's glorify the Father. You got the whole Trinity wrapped up one into one another, praising one another, blessing one another, working for and toward one another. That's our God. That's the true God, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about. I remember that day the Holy Spirit testified to me and I was lost and undone. Do you remember the day that you were lost and undone and the Holy Spirit testified to you? Remember the day when you stopped going to church and let the church get in you? Remember that? I tell you, we serve a true and living God. I'm glad the Holy Spirit also believes in every believer. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, listen to this. Job 33, 4 says this. The Spirit of God hath made me. This is where, Christian, that we need the church in us instead of us going to church. Because this is where the Holy Spirit does His work. This is where He gets into the heart and fingers around and touches and leads and guides. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Holy Spirit that makes us who we are for Him. If we allow Him to make us, He'll make us. Now, I want to go one more step in this. There is a word here. The Spirit of God hath made me. That word made means this. The Spirit of God hath bruised me. The Spirit of God hath dealt with me. The Spirit of God hath dressed me. The Spirit of God fulfills me. The Spirit of God furnishes me. The Spirit of God governs me. Amen, preacher. The Spirit of God holds me. The Spirit of God meets with me. The Spirit of God trims me. He finds the rough edges and begins to trim away. You know, my mother-in-law, she's so precious. She's here today and she moved in with us and we're so glad to have her, our home being her home and so forth. But we bought a mattress and we had the mattress delivered. And they put it up. I wasn't there when it came. They put it up there. And she went in the room. And she said, come here. And I went in there. And she went to the edge of that mattress. And there was some stuffing coming out of the edge. A brand new mattress. Stuffing coming out of the edge. There were some rough edges. You know what I did? I went to the drawer in the kitchen. And I pulled out some scissors. And when she wasn't looking, I went back in there and I trimmed around the edge of that mattress. She came along afterwards, looked at it, she said, that looks good. I want to tell you, we are rough. We've got junk hanging all out. We're not a finished product. But if we'll shut up and lay still, amen. I said, if we'll shut up and lay still for a moment, He'll come along with His little spiritual scissors. He'll start cutting off those rough edges, the things that get in the way, the things that maybe just don't look too good, the things that may cause us not to function quite like He has designed us to function. I'm saying, Christians, God trims us if we'll let Him. Y'all with me? I'm almost done. Really, this time, I'm not lying to you. I'm almost done. I tell you, I like the last meaning of this word, maze. The Spirit of God hath, here's the word, finished. Finished! He's finishing. Amen. One day we're going to walk into the throne room, fall on our face before Him. He's going to say, look up, boy. You're finished. I'm looking to be finished, aren't you? Blessed be the holy name of God. I'm so glad that we serve a Lord God and Savior that is truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I feel done. I feel finished as far as this message is concerned. But I am going to share this with you. We serve a God, a true God, that is the way of salvation. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He didn't just pick this group to be saved, that group not to be saved, that group? Aren't you glad we don't have Nazi Christianity? Aren't you glad we serve a God that is a for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, I don't understand this five-point Calvinism, Nazi Christianity, I call it. But we serve a God that if you're lost today, you don't know Him as your personal Savior, He will save you. I don't care if you're a drunk. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you've been caught up in prostitution. I don't care what your lifestyle is or was. God will save you. And then, through the work of His Holy Spirit, He's going to start trimming away, cutting away, working on you, putting you where you should be and how you should be. It's good preaching, ain't it, brother? Amen. How it should be, where we should be, when He wants us to be. Ladies and gentlemen, blessed be the name of the Lord. Ain't God good? I think y'all are clapping because you're glad I'm about to shut up. Brother Dave, you come on. What are we going to do for Him this morning? This is twofold. If you don't know Jesus, come on. Come on. Jesus said ye must be born again. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another second. Come on, be born again today. But I want to, Christians, I want to say this to you. Are you letting God make you? Are you letting the Holy Spirit trim you down, cut you back, fix you, visit with you? And when He visits with you, do you even listen to Him? That's good preaching, isn't it? I want to say, blessed be His holy name. I got to tell you, I hope this message has helped somebody. I really do. But if one person don't come to the altar, I don't care. I know I've preached what God said. I've done it from His word, in His power, with His Spirit leading me. Trimming me up. Say, this one needs that. Oh, this one over here needs this. God just gave me the message for you. And I'm satisfied with it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand. Pastor, would you come and take over?